Welcome to Glad News for Muslims, a ministry to motivate, encourage, and equip believers and churches to love all people and to communicate the good news of God's love and salvation to all, including those who practice Islam. One out of every four people living in the world today is a Muslim. The Muslim population doubles every 20 years. Muslims are growing rapidly in Europe, Australia, Canada, and America. In fact, in Southern California alone, there are 1.5 million Muslims. With more, here's your host, Sammy Tanago.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our unique program. Today's program is very interesting because I have been praying that God will help me and help my audience to have his heart of love for all people. And for all people, I mean for all people, even those people that we usually have negative feelings and thoughts toward them. So let me dive in. We read in the gospel, according to Jesus' disciple Matthew, chapter 8, what happened between a Roman officer and Jesus. The Roman officer told Jesus, "Lord, my servant lies in bed paralyzed and in terrible pain." Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." But the officer said, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my house. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I have authority over my soldiers. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he said to those following him, "Truly, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." I am sure you know that the Jews resented the Roman army occupation. Jesus, in this story, commended the faith of this Gentile military leader. Jesus said, and I am paraphrasing, "Many foreigners like this Roman officer shall come from the east and the west to join Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But many of those who thought they were sons of the kingdom, chosen people of Israel, will not be with God enjoying his presence." Wow. Many of the Jewish people who were originally promised the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness and will not be present in the kingdom of heaven. I understand that Jesus emphasizes that faith in him is the key to entering the kingdom of heaven. I understand from the Bible, especially clearly in the New Testament, that it is not in simply being Jewish or belonging to a particular lineage that you gain God's favor and God's blessings and automatically you enter heaven. No, it is through the right relationship with God. In Matthew 8, I understood that faith and humility of the Roman officer gained God's favor, Jesus answering to his request, despite that the Roman officer is a military leader against actually the chosen people of God. You know, the Roman were occupying Jewish land, and the Roman officer was a non-Jewish person. He was not also born-again Christian. However, he displays profound belief in Jesus' power and authority. You see, this is the key. And Jesus responded by miraculously healing his servant. This story revealed that Jesus welcomed faith from unexpected sources. This story in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 8 shows that faith is not limited to the Jewish people, but can be found in unexpected places, even among Gentiles. And Jesus responded positively to the Roman officer. Actually, Jesus will respond positively to whoever believes in his authority and compassion. In a different passage in the Gospel, John chapter 12, Jesus said, "When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself." These words is a prophecy of Jesus' crucifixion, of course, where he would be raised on the cross and then be exalted by God. Through his sacrifice, Jesus will attract individuals from all nations, from all ethnic groups and cultures to himself and offer them salvation. Jesus was fully aware that he came to establish a spiritual kingdom of interracial and international people. We read in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, Jesus enters the temple in Jerusalem and drives out merchants who have turned the temple into marketplace. Jesus emphasizes that the temple was meant to be a house of prayer for all nations. We read, you see, a place where people from all ethnic background could come to seek God. That's what I wanted to see. God's heart, which Jesus revealed for all people, for all nations. Okay, we also read in the New Testament, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, moments before Jesus ascended back into heaven, Jesus promised his disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Acts is a story of God's grace flooding out to the whole world. The fact that Jesus mentioned Samaria means that the gospel will transcend ethnicity. In the whole New Testament, God has always been concerned that his people reflect on what he has done and tell others about it. Jesus first wanted the disciples to receive power. I love that. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. The disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" The kingdom they were interested in was one of political and military power. That's what I understood when I read the writings of our Christian commentators and scholars, the conservative and knowledgeable one throughout Christian history. At that time, the Romans had dominated the Jewish world for so many years. The disciples were wondering if Jesus was planning something against the Romans. But Jesus' vision of power was of a different kind. He wants his disciples to receive power, but it was not power for political dominance or to win military conflicts. It was the power of the Holy Spirit, God dwelling within them and changing the way they think and act. Power to witness. Acts 1 verse 6, the disciples' expectation was physical kingdom. Jesus came to establish himself as a king. Hopefully, you know. No, Jesus came to establish a spiritual kingdom. Jesus' disciples were thinking not of a kingdom of God embracing all mankind, but of a sovereignty and the land restored to Israel, and Jesus will be the king. And they can live happily ever after. No, they want to break the Roman yoke from off the Israelites' necks. Their focus was a temporal kingdom to be established by Christ. Jesus redirected his disciples' zeal to spreading the spiritual kingdom throughout the entire earth. Jesus wants his disciples to focus on be his witness in all the earth. This is the job of all Christian believers, actually. I hope we understand that. In John 18, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Our job is to fill Jesus' spiritual kingdom with spiritual citizens to win souls. Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." The disciples were to be Jesus' witnesses to all the Jewish people, to all the Gentiles, to all people, and even to the remotest part of the earth. That's what we talked about in previous programs, reaching the unreached people groups who don't have a local church among them, that they never received answers to their questions about God or Jesus. So now, where were I? Jesus taught that he is our only Savior, and the disciples need to share that. Jesus taught God is love. The disciples need to share that. The disciples and we need to live our lives to share with the whole world the awesome news of God's love and salvation revealed to us through the person of Jesus Christ. Now, I noticed something very significant during my study before I shared with you this program. Actually, every program, I take time to pray and study many, many hours. However, let me tell you what I discovered. The Greek word translated witnesses is a noun with the root martes, from which we get the English word martyr. So I understood from our Christian commentators and from studying Jesus' words that all Christians have the job of being a martyr in the sense of living their lives sacrificially, dying to their self-centered life, and letting Jesus reveal himself through you and me to lost people. Keeping the main thing. Remember, Jesus commanded us to lose our lives for the sake of his kingdom. To invest our lives to accomplish his will. He wants all people to be saved. When Christ ascended into heaven, Christianity at that time was basically a Jewish sect of a few hundred people. Of course, it's good to remember that we owe the Jewish people great debt as far as the Old Testament given to us and as far as spreading Christianity. Okay? So we should pray for the Jewish people, pray for Israel, and make serious effort to help them that Jesus is the Messiah and help them be saved. However, let me get back to my point. Christianity at the time of Jesus' disciples was basically a Jewish sect of a few hundred Jewish people became Christians. But by the end of Acts, within a matter of a few decades, Christianity became a vast movement, hallelujah, sweeping across the Roman Empire. This took place because Jesus' disciples obeyed his commandment. Okay, so let me move to a more specific area regarding the Middle East conflict. Here is my solution. Actually, I am praying that God will bring our ministry lots of money. Hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars. Why? Because I wanna share a message that will reach every person in the world, especially in the Middle East. And I pray, if I couldn't reach everyone with this message, that you will take this message and share it. We, as followers of Jesus Christ, loves genuinely all Jewish and Israeli people and all Arab and Palestinian people. Why? This is not just words. This is a fact that we experience. Why? Because when we repented of our sins, when we forsook our sins, the things we do wrong, and believe that Jesus paid the penalty for everything wrong we did, we became a children of God. God's Spirit is now living within us. And because God is love, that's what the gospel tells us. God is love, 1 John chapter 4. God's Spirit within us gave us the ability to love all people, to love all Jewish people, all Israelis, all Arabs, all Palestinians, all Muslims, to give us the ability to love them, because the fruits of the presence of the Holy Spirit within us is love. Galatians chapter 5. And actually, here is you can experience the triunity of God. When you repent, put your faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit will come to live within you, and you will experience God's love as your heavenly Father, and you will be filled with God's Spirit. And the Holy Spirit within you will give you the ability to love your enemies and to forgive the people that offended you and hurted you. And my Jewish and Israeli and Palestinian and Arabs people, we want you to know that if you forsook anything wrong you do, and to put your faith that Jesus paid the penalty for everything wrong you did, paid the penalty for your sins, you will enjoy God's presence. You will enjoy becoming a child of God, and the Holy Spirit will come to dwell within you, and you will be able to forgive each others and love each others and live in peace with each other. You wonder how that can be possible? It is possible only through repentance and faith in Jesus. And actually, this is God's desire, that the Israelis and the Arabs, the Palestinians, you know, the Jewish people, all of these people will live together in peace. Well, I found at least two verses in the Old Testament, and you can write these down. I don't have time to read them, Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 21 to 23, and Leviticus chapter 19, verses 33 and 34. God wants all the Jewish and Arab people to have a wonderful relationship with each other, to live in peace and love each others. And of course, God's desire in the New Testament is very clear that God wants all people to live in peace and to love each other. This is the teaching of Jesus and his disciples. So here you have it. I solved the problems of the Middle East for you because of the teaching of Jesus, the New Testament. So we can encourage our Christian leaders and our pastors to proclaim and share this message from the pulpit, from satellite TV, and from the platform that God is giving them, and use the resources that God gave them and the time and the technology to focus on sharing the message of God's love and salvation revealed through Jesus Christ. Salam.
I have a coworker who's Muslim. We talk here and there, but it's hard to answer some of his questions.
Okay, we do have a fellow here in our church who is an Egyptian, and he probably knows more about the Muslim faith than what they know. Mm-hmm. And he's written a book titled, God Loves You, My Muslim Friend. Many Muslims have been converted after reading this book. I would highly recommend this book by Sammy Tanaho on God Loves You, My Muslim Friend.
This is a really, really good book because it focuses on the love of God for the Muslim, where he shows the biblical revelation of God and his relationship with us is that of father and child, where the Quranic revelation of God is master and slave. And the gospel brings us into the family of God as children of God with a loving, gracious Heavenly Father. Not to mention the fact that the biblical story is true and the story of the Quran is not true.
I have to tell you that God guided me to write the book, Glad News, God Loves You, My Muslim Friend, to answer questions Muslims usually ask about our Christian faith and to present Jesus in the most understandable, convincing, and attractive way to Muslims. God used the Glad News book to help thousands of Muslims become followers of Christ. You can read many testimonies on our website. Please buy as many Glad News books as you can. Keep one of them. Give one to your pastor and the others to the Muslims you will meet through divine appointments. I encourage you to believe that when you take actions and invest in our ministry, God will use your life to help so many Muslims spend eternity with Him. To order, call 714-514-2558. Again, 714-514-2558. My precious audience, I would love to come to your church to motivate your fellowship further to love all people and love their enemies and equip them to share Jesus effectively with all people, including Muslims. You can call me at 714-514-2558. Again, 714-514-2558. And now you can listen to Glad News for Muslims wherever you hear your favorite podcast. If God puts it in your heart to enable us to share Jesus effectively with more Muslims, you can donate at our website.
You've been listening to Glad News for Muslims with Sammy Tanago. For more information about the ministry, visit gladnewsministry.com. You can also call 714-514-2558 or write Sammy, SAMY at gladnewsministry.com. This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa.